Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. God gives Abraham an unthinkable command. He says, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. I doubt that any of us here this morning can adequately appreciate how this situation would have impacted Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had been childless for their entire marriage. And at the age of 75, God promises Abraham a son, but then God made him wait 25 years. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And now that Isaac had been born and as he had been reared, God comes to Abraham and requests that the answer to his prayers be sacrificed as a burnt offering. It didn't make any sense. This was the wonder boy. This was the son of promise. This was the child through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. God had never requested such a grave thing from any of his servants. In fact, God had condemned the Canaanites because of their child sacrifices. And now, out of the blue, here comes this baffling, this unbelievable, this unthinkable command to slay the promised child. Why would God do that? Well, it wasn't for God's vanity. It wasn't so that God could learn anything about Abraham. God already knew everything there was to know about Abraham. This was all about Abraham. This was for Abraham's benefit. This was so that Abraham would know that he loved God more than anything else. Now, this is a unique story. But even though the story is unique, the principle behind it isn't. You see, God still tests us today. God wants to bring us to a mountain of sacrifice so that our faith will be tested. God wants to bring us to a mountain of sacrifice where our love for Him will be proven. He wants to show us not how much He wants from us, but He wants to show us how much we love Him. As we ascend the mountain of Moriah, I want us to notice together some principles concerning sacrifice. And we want to look at them just briefly together this morning. And here's the first one. God prepares us for the times of sacrifice. Genesis 22, verse 1 begins with the words, after these things. Well, after what things? The story of Abraham begins in Genesis chapter 12. And here we are in Genesis 22. And so after these things is after a lot of things. It's sometime after the trials. Sometime after the journey. Sometime after the blessings that Abraham had experienced from Genesis 12 through Genesis chapter 21. And up to this point, God was preparing Abraham. God had given Abraham challenges. He'd also given him blessings to prepare him for this very moment, for this very sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to move out of his homeland. In verse 1 of chapter 12, God says, go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. That was a test. That was a challenge. But with that came blessings. Abraham became prosperous. He was incredibly wealthy. We think about the promise of a son. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait. That was the test. That was a challenge. But God kept His promise. God gave them a son. And Isaac grew up healthy and strong. And at the end of Genesis chapter 21, Abraham signs a peace treaty with Abimelech. That, at the end of several difficult circumstances, some challenges, but he signs that treaty. The point is, God had given Abraham the right combination of challenges and blessings to prepare him for this moment of sacrifice on the mountain of Moriah. You know what? God does the exact same thing for us. God prepares us for the time that we will ascend the mountain of sacrifice. God prepares us for the times when our faith is going to be put on the line. I truly believe that if you look at your life, if you examine your circumstances, your situation, you'll see that is true. Jesus' half-brother James tells us in verses 2 and 3 of James chapter 1, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." You drop down to verse 17 of that very same chapter. And James says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, no shadow due to change." God fills our lives with the right combination of challenges and blessings. And as He does that, He's preparing us. He's preparing us for those times of sacrifice when our faith will really be tested. God prepares us for times of sacrifice. The second principle we find as we ascend this mountain, we find that sacrifice is always voluntary. We learn starting in verse 3 that while God may have told Abraham to perform this sacrifice, He didn't force him to do it. Verse 3 says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him." So Abraham rose up early in the morning and prepared to go on this mountain of sacrifice. Well, maybe Abraham got up so early because he was having trouble sleeping, knowing what God had commanded him to do. Maybe he got up so early because he was so ready and eager to obey God. The Scriptures don't tell us why. Whatever it was, we know that God didn't force it. If Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, it was going to be his choice to make. And here's where I think there is sometimes a misunderstanding. We need to understand that there is no such thing as an involuntary sacrifice. A sacrifice isn't something that just happens to us. There's no such thing as an involuntary sacrifice. It's always a choice that we make. We sometimes refer to some kind of loss as a sacrifice, but that's not what it is. We may lose a loved one. We may lose a job. It may be horrible. It may be tragic. It may be the most awful thing that's ever happened to us. But biblically speaking, it's not a sacrifice. And the reason is because a sacrifice is something that is given. It's not something that is taken. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The cross of Jesus Christ, it was a sacrifice because He chose it. Matthew 16 in verse 21. And then in Matthew 16, verse 24, when Jesus asks us to take up our cross, He's asking us to choose. If we ever scale a mountain of sacrifice with reluctance or with displeasure, it shows very little of our love for God. That's not what God wants. There's never been a sacrifice that God couldn't do without. God doesn't need our sacrifices. What He wants is a willful heart. True sacrifice is always voluntary. We continue up the mountain. Next, we find that our love for God needs to be proven. Notice the intensity with which God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. In verse 2, God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Now, wait a second. Didn't Abraham have another son? What about Ishmael? So what's God talking about when he comes to Abraham asking for his only son? Well, Abraham did, yes, have another son. In fact, Ishmael was his firstborn. But the word that we find in our English translations as only, it comes from a Hebrew word that means most prized or most precious. And so God was telling Abraham to sacrifice the most precious blessing in his life. God was basically saying to Abraham, I don't want you to tell me that you love me. I'm going to really let you show me. When the time comes, God asks us to go up that mountain of sacrifice. He expects more from us than just our words. God knows that words are cheap. James 1 verse 22 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus said in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can say a lot with words. Words do matter. Words are so very important. But God says, back up those words with action. He says, quit telling me how much you love me and start showing me. Prove it. God's saying, I've blessed you. I've loved you. I appreciate your attendance. I appreciate your songs of praise. I appreciate your prayers of adoration. But put your sacrifice where your mouth is. Our love for God must be proven. We continue up the mountain. Another principle concerning sacrifice is that sacrifice is giving something that's precious to give to something or someone more precious. How precious do you suppose Isaac was to Abraham? Now remember, he and Sarah had been childless, and it wasn't until 25 years after the promise that they were blessed with this son. How precious was Isaac to Abraham? For you parents out there, how precious are your children to you? Isaac was the most precious, the most prized blessing of Abraham's life. And I want us to consider for just a minute a few verses that define the faith involved in Abraham's sacrifice. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 22. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. Imagine the scene as it's presented to us here. Abraham has the fire in one hand, a knife in the other, and the fuel for that fire is strapped to his son's back. Do you think you can adequately appreciate how this situation would have impacted Abraham? Can you imagine what was going on in his mind as they're climbing this mountain? Do you think there was a lot of small talk? A lot of mindless conversation on that trip. Imagine the scene. Verses 9 and 10 say, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Abraham lifted up the knife to kill his son. What on earth could cause a man to do such a thing? Well, I'll tell you what. Someone even more precious than that boy. God Almighty. Do you love God that much? Do you love God that much? I don't know either. Because God has never asked me to sacrifice my child. God has never asked me to sacrifice something that precious. What do you have? What do you have that's precious? That you can give to something more precious on the mountain of sacrifice, whatever it might be. It is not nearly as precious as the one who gave it to you. Sacrifice is giving something that's precious to give to something more precious. Another important principle that we find on the mountain of sacrifice is that sacrifice isn't always understood. There are times when you talk with God and you have questions. And you want answers to those questions. But God is saying that's okay. You might not understand. Hold my hand and obey. That's what God is saying to Abraham. Hold my hand and obey. Look at the expression of Abraham's faith in verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 22. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Now, why didn't Abraham allow these young men to go with him and with Isaac? Why have them stay with the donkey and not go and worship together with them? The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe it is that had those two young men been on the mountain, they might have tried to stop the sacrifice. Look at verse 5 again. Abraham says, "I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." Did you catch that? Abraham truly believed, he fully believed that he and Isaac would come down from that mountain together. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, which Bill read for us just a little bit ago, gives us some insight into the mind of Abraham. He believed God would raise him from the dead, and in a figurative way, that's exactly what he did. I want to tell you a little bit about faith and not understanding. We've read about the prophets raising people from the dead. We've read about the apostles raising people from the dead. We've read about Jesus Christ Himself raising people from the dead. And so maybe we read this in Genesis 22 and we think, well, that's not a big deal. God would just raise him from the dead. Abraham would just have confidence in that, knowing that he would just raise him from the dead. We need to understand. At this point, as far as the biblical record is concerned, God had never raised anyone from the dead before. Abraham fully believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead, even though, as far as we know, God had never done anything like that before. That's faith. It may not make any sense. You may not understand it. It may seem unreasonable. But sacrifice doesn't always make sense. And that's where we find our faith being magnified. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things we cannot see." It takes faith to give any sacrifice. Anytime you give something precious in order to give it to something even more precious, it takes faith. But it takes even greater faith when you don't understand why. Sacrifice isn't always understood. And then finally, we ascend Mount Moriah. As we climb the mountain of sacrifices, we find one last principle. And that is, God is the real provider of the land. Verse 7 says, "Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'Hold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?'" It's a valid question, isn't it? Isaac looks around and he notices something is missing. And so he asks, "Where is the lamb?" If there was ever a question that could cut to the heart of Abraham, that was it, wasn't it? Where is the land. Now notice how Abraham responded in verse 8. He said, God will provide for Himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God has always provided the lambs of sacrifice. He was the one who gave Abraham all of the lambs. He was the one who gave Abraham Isaac. Let's understand this. Whatever sacrifice that God requests of you, He is the one who provided you with the lamb. And to me, this begins the best part of this story. Starting in verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Abraham has the knife raised. And then he hears a voice. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt when he heard those words? Can you imagine how he must have felt when God provided that ram? Verse 14 tells us, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham could have named this mountain anything he wanted to. He certainly could have named it something else. He could have named it the Mount of Almost Sacrifice. He could have named it the Mount of Near Miss. But no, he named it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. God was always providing for Abraham. He gave him his lambs before the sacrifice, for the sacrifice, and he continued to give Abraham lambs after the sacrifice. Today, we find comfort and we find hope in the fact that God promises the same thing for us. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 tells us, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. Whatever land that God has given to you, if you scale the mountain of sacrifice, and if you offer it as a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God, He will bless you with lambs 100 times over. Maybe not in this life, but certainly in the life that is to come. God wants to bless you just as He blessed Abraham. He wants to use you just as He used Abraham, but just like Abraham. God can't accomplish any great purpose until you know. Until you know that you love Him more than anything else. And that's why God has always asked for sacrifice. Sacrifice has always been the testing ground upon which our love for God is proven. Not proven to God, but proven to ourselves. God doesn't need our sacrifice. Yes, God wants it. Yes, God requires it. But He doesn't need it. I need it. I need to sacrifice to God. You need it. You need to sacrifice to God. We will never know the extent of our love for God. We'll never find peace in our walk with God until we ascend the mountain of sacrifice and offer our best to God. God has already given us His best. God gave us the ultimate sacrifice of His Son. That's how God expressed His love toward us. Would you this morning express your love for God and offer your life on the altar of faith? If you're not yet a Christian, you can come this morning. Come in faith, come in repentance, come confessing you believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. Or if you're already a Christian, maybe you need the prayers of the church on your behalf. God won't force you. It's your choice. God has prepared you for this. And He wants you. But now the choice is yours.